everybody, and welcome to Save Your Sorry, the podcast where we discuss the rise and fall of your favorite, or rather least favorite, celebrities. I am your host, Katrina Rochelle, here with my best friend and fellow co-host, Jose Angel. How are you doing today, sir?
I am doing wonderful. How are you?
I am doing great. I'm glad that we're doing good today.
I am too. Ever there be a time where we're like, we're both horrible? Actually, sometimes when we're like before the recording where we're like, oh, we're not feeling it. I feel like those are our better episodes.
Oh, really? Because I was going to say, saying that we're in a good mood bodes well for a good episode. Maybe maybe it's the opposite.
When do we start arguing in this one?
Oh, Lord. Let's see. Maybe it'll lead to some good reviews. Since I'm introducing the episode, you know that this is Jose's time to shine. Jose, what person, subject, theme, storyline are you presenting us today?
So today I bring you a story, which is not really a Justice IV episode, but maybe let's take a closer look at this story and decide, was it ever that serious?
Ooh, so a big scandal and like, was it really a big scandal?
Sometimes someone seems like they dominate the news cycle and then they disappear. And I wonder what happened to so-and-so. Ooh. Does the name Nadia Suleiman mean anything to you?
Yes. Yes, it does.
Okay. She is more commonly known as the Octo Mom. And I have always had a soft spot for her. What about you? I'm sure it's been years since you have thought about her. But what were your feelings about her that you can remember?
Her poor vagina.
She did have a C-section.
I know, I figured. With all those kids, she had to. I don't know. Even though I was aware of her and the firestorm against and around her, I was never really that interested in Nadia. So I just kind of was like, if you like it, I'll love it. If you want all them kids, good for you.
Okay. I think every few years, we as a society put aside our differences to come down hard on a person, usually a woman, for some wrong they have committed.
And I'm sorry. That's not it. That's real, but that's so fucked up.
I mean, if you think about it, like just throwing names out there, like if whatever side you fall on, Amber Heard, Rachel Dolezal, Monica Lewinsky, mm-hmm. like, you know, these women who come and go, Colleen Ballinger, which, like I said, which side you fall on.
Our hate against women unites us.
Yeah. So they almost become a roadside attraction where we can all laugh and point until we get tired of the shtick and wait until a new woman commits around. Granted, sometimes it's warranted. So come one, come all, let's learn about Nadia Octomont Suleiman and determine, was the public backlash she received warranted for her decision to have children that many people thought she could not financially take care of? And I got most of my information from TMZ, the New York Times, and People.com. I also watched clips of Nadia on a variety of talk shows and news programs. So Nadia Suleiman first came to the public's attention at the end of January 2009 for having the first set of surviving octuplets, being 8 babies.
Damn.
And at first, it was a feel-good story. Look at that big belly photo. Who doesn't love babies?
Oh my God, that photo is in my nightmares. All them damn babies in there, could you imagine? It was a fucking circus.
I saw, it was either a news article or an interview where she was talking about she could feel the babies like walking on her thighs. Like that's how she explained it, just because there's like so many in there.
That is crazy. Nothing walking on your thighs because her stomach was that big.
So at 31 weeks, Nadia would go into labor, and the smallest baby only weighed 1 pound, 8 ounces, aww. Which is so crazy that a baby is that small. I've eaten baked potatoes bigger than that.
Damn sure. Fully loaded, too.
It reportedly took 46 doctors and nurses to deliver the babies. Ooh. And I saw one video, and the 8th baby was a surprise. They had only accounted for 7 babies, and when they discovered the last one, they are saying there's a baby H. I believe they're saying H. I couldn't make sure they're saying H like the letter or 8 like the number. Either way, it works. So 8 babies at once. Who could handle that? It's so many babies to raise at once. But these weren't Nadia's only kids. She had six more at home.
Yeah, and that's what the crazy thing. Like, girl, I thought, like, when it first came out, I was like, oh, okay, that's a lot of kids, but geez, at least that's your one sitting. But then I heard she had more. I was like, damn, girl, why did you want all these kids?
And they were all under 8 years old.
Hell no.
So the public's opinion changes and they think, well, this ain't the cute story we signed up for. So people start to wonder, what does she do for work to support all these babies? And, well, Nadia didn't work. She had been on disability for years. Around this time, Nadia would start to do interviews. And the rumors are going crazy. Some saying she's obsessed with Angelina Jolie and having children to be like her. Some rumors saying that she had IVF in Mexico, implying she went there to get around the rules. And some rumors saying she only had the octuplets for fame. And Nadia denies all this, so she starts doing the interviews. And we can speculate, was this really to clear the air, or was she leaning into the Octomom persona, that newfound fame, maybe a little of both? So now we are at the point where if this was a movie, it would freeze on Nadia's face with her doing the voiceover of, you're probably wondering how I got into this mess. So she gives interviews to tell how she got here. And I mostly use Ann Curry's interview with Nadia. She did a lot around this time, but I liked Ann's.
I love Ann Curry. Just Ann Curry.
I didn't want to say that either. I loved her too. And I could not really remember too much about her. But I'm like, I just have love for her. I don't really know why.
Yeah. We know the truth.
So Nadia says she grew up as an only child, and she says she felt unconditional love by her father, and she knew her mother loved her, but had a harder time showing it. And Nadia said being an only child left her longing for a large family, and since she never had siblings, as she grew, she realized she wanted to have a lot of kids, so that had always been in her plans, to have a shitload of kids. So in 1996, when Nadia was 21, she would get married, but they were unable to conceive children. Nadia would try artificial insemination and medication for 7 years, but it only resulted in an ectopic pregnancy. And Nadia would be told by doctors she would need IVF if she wished to conceive, where they would retrieve some eggs and fertilize it and place it back into Nadia. And IVF is not cheap, so the way Nadia saved up for this was working at the psychiatric hospital as a technician, where she was able to work doubles. And she says she did not care about a car, about a new TV, nothing. She just saved all that money towards IVF.
Jeez. Talk about a dream to that you want to pursue.
Yeah. So Nadia claimed she was able to save for several IVF treatments, even though the treatments were around $10,000.
How much was you getting paid? What was your career? What was you... She was working in a... I'm just jealous of the money.
And she says in 1999, there was a riot in the state psychiatric hospital she was working, and an inmate tipped a piece of furniture into her, resulting in a back injury. So that's how she got put on disability.
Okay, girl. I'm sorry it happened. I'm trying to figure out what that means, but okay.
I mean, it was a riot, so I guess people were trying to escape. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, but that language, in the middle of a riot, this man tipped some furniture on me. Tipped the furniture on my back.
She said it felt like a bomb exploded on her.
Well, then why you say tip?
That's what she said.
I'm sorry, Nadia, but your language is conflicting and confusing. But okay, that's fucked up, though. Back injuries, especially when you're young, it's over. I hate to say that. So I hope nobody out there young has a back injury. But man, I'm only saying this because of experience. You got to take care of it. It sucks. Oof.
So Nadia would enter a depressive state after this and realize she didn't want to be married. She just wanted children. So her and her husband would get a divorce and she would begin the IVF process. And she used a sperm donor she decided to keep anonymous, so not her ex-husband.
Well, I didn't want you. I mean, I definitely want you to be the father of my children, I guess.
In May 1999, Nadia would soon begin IVF treatment under the care of Dr. Michael Kumrava. And Dr. Kamrava has lost his medical license now in direct correlation with there being octuplets.
Oh, no. Indirect?
So let's go over that journey. And I relied heavily on Mama Dr. Jones' YouTube video going over this because it's a lot of medical jargon. And while I have seen all the episodes of Grey's Anatomy, this is not my field of specialty.
Yes. Some people, we only know the buzzwords.
Yes. I can say angioplasty, and that's about it.
Oh, my gosh. And the chief is going to let me perform a Whipple.
Uh-huh. And you cut the Elvad Ryer? Like, I got
Is it? Why is your penis on a dead girl's phone? I know that's not Grey's Anatomy.
So I'm going to act like I know what I'm talking about here, but please don't push. My knowledge is very surface level.
Same.
So the first time he transferred six embryos that resulted in an ectopic pregnancy. And six is on the high side. Now with medical advancement, it's ideally you get the eggs, freeze them, and transfer one or two.
Six?
Yeah. You don't really want to do a whole lot because it does reduce the survival rate of the fetuses.
And I was just thinking, like, if you only take so many of my eggs to do this, IVF treatments, right?
Yes.
You're doing six in one go. You're fucking up my storage.
Yeah, so you should freeze them, put one in, put two in, you know, that's it. Mm. So July 1999, Nadia would undergo two more stem cycles. I understand it to be where they inject you with hormones in hopes to mimic ovulation to help mature their eggs so they release so you can collect them. Mm. So two more stem cycles, but they were canceled, which could be because overstimulation. So something went wrong there. August 2000, fourth stem cycle. And they end up transferring five of those embryos. So May 2001, she does have her first child. 4 months after that, Nadia is back in doing another stem cycle in September 2001. And October, she has transferred five embryos again, which resulted in another pregnancy. And that baby was born July 2002. October 2002, just 12 weeks after having given birth with now two children, Nadia goes back and another stem cycle happens.
This is where it's like, I'm like, yeah, I know you want a big family, but girl, you on disability, you're a single mother. Girl, you being irresponsible.
She is being highly irresponsible. So this time they transfer four embryos, resulting in another baby. That's in August 2003. June 2004, 10 months after having her third child, Nadia's back again for her seventh stem cycle. And Nadia saying she wanted twins. All these other pregnancies resulted in single births. Again, four embryos transferred, but only a single baby resulted.
See, now you ain't even satisfied. Now you're calling out combinations and shit. I thought you just wanted a big family. Now you want twins. You want girl, you just like a gambling addict. You just can't stop.
So it does seem like she does have an addiction to having children.
Because I don't understand no other woman who wants to be this pregnant all the time. By doing this by herself. Could you imagine you keep getting pregnant while taking care of kids while you're pregnant?
So October 2005. She goes in again for her eighth stem cycle, and that one does result in a miscarriage. The ninth stem cycle would happen November 2005, but it's canceled. Again, this could be because of overstimulation from the hormones injected into her.
December 2005. You can't be feeling well, like your health fluctuating like this, and the disappointments of these miscarriages. Ugh. That's just that so much. True. She's putting herself through a lot.
She's putting herself through a lot, and there's, like, no rest period in between.
Yeah, that's why, like, if you were to tell me, like, in the present time she has issues, if she's not taking care of herself, I would believe you, because carrying that many children back-to-back and going through all those fertility hormone treatments as well as the IVF, it's like, that can't be like, it can't bode a whole like well for you as a whole over time, is what I'm saying.
December 2005, she has her 10th stem cycle. Again, 6 embryos are implanted in her, and Natalie does get her twins. We are now up to 6 children. 4 months after giving birth, she's once again there for her 11th stem cycle in February 2007. And they transfer 6 embryos that did not result in a pregnancy.
Treating her like spiders, having her spit out eggs like spiders and fish. Like, what the fuck?
So, October 2007, Nadia undergoes her 12th stem cycle where she freezes 8 eggs. Now, Katrina, you don't pretend to be a medical professional like I do, so you probably wouldn't know this.
Yeah.
But already, we are in the land of medical malpractice.
I can feel it.
Dr. Kamrava should have not been doing so many stem cycles back to back to back, especially since he was just going to use fresh eggs. There were 29 frozen embryos that he could have been using. So ideally, how these stem cycles work is you do one stem cycle, hopefully end up with 5 to 10 eggs, transfer one of them, bad boys, freeze the rest, and when the time comes, you can thaw one or two out and pop them in there.
So he's giving away eggs?
He's not giving them away, but with, you know, there's 29 frozen embryos. You would think that even with 6 kids, if Nadia wanted more kids in the future, 29 should be able to hold her over for a while.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Kamrava must not felt the same way, because on January 2008, there's a 13th stem cycle where he transfers 8 embryos. And
that won't stop.
This is just speculation, but the only reason to repeatedly keep doing stem cycles when you have over 2 dozen frozen embryos is for greed by the doctor. He could charge her for the stem cycle treatment and for the storage of the frozen embryos.
Yeah, I was like, when it comes to medical malpractice, if the doctor is not sleeping with the patient, it's usually just about money.
It is about money. And another thing they talked about is one of the reasons to implant her with so many embryos is because you want your rate of success to be very high. So one way to do that is, you know, fill her up with eggs.
And that's what he said. And that's what he did.
So with these transfer of these 8 eggs, it would not result in a pregnancy.
I just put her through so much. Ugh.
June 2008, 14th stem cycle, and in July 2008, according to Nadia, she was going to hang up the towel. She got her twins, she has had her big family, so she just is going to use the remaining, what she thinks is 6 frozen embryos. If it happens, it happens. Now, 6 is not an outrageous number. It was pushing the guidelines, but it was not deemed medical malpractice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Nadia had been doing, you know, around 6, which resulted in mostly single births. But this time, the doctor would transfer 12. And I believe these were mostly fresh embryos, so not the 29 frozen ones.
Yeah.
And Nadia would not find out about the 29 frozen embryos until Dr. Kamrava's medical license came into question. She had always believed it was the 6 embryos and 2 split into twins. Dr. Kamrava would try and argue that it was not medical malpractice to transfer so many because it was Nadia's wishes to do so, which again, she did not know there were that many. He would also argue that he had always transferred large amounts of embryos and she usually had a single birth besides once. So again, you know, what can be expected? And Dr. Kamrava would also try and say she had a history of failed pregnancies, which is kind of true, but she also does have a history of having 6 children.
Yeah.
So Dr. Kamrava would lose his medical license in 2011 to protect the public. While 6 embryos was argued during this little medical meeting, 8 embryo transfers and 12 embryo transfers were seen out of the guidelines. And Dr. Kamrava would also say that Nadia had agreed to selective reduction in the case of multiple fetuses, which is debated since Nadia has said she viewed the embryos as children and didn't want to destroy them. So if, you know, if she's saying she doesn't want to destroy embryos, why would she agree to selective reduction of the fetuses? It was also discussed if he should have got her mental health treatment, which they did not deem was medical malpractice. But, you know, it was questioned, like, should he get her seen by someone?
Yeah, as the doctor, don't you have like a, what's the word? Not like a oath or a job to basically step in and say, hey, we should, your body and your mind should take a break. We can't keep doing this to you. After so many failed treatments, as well as so many positive treatments, like, yeah, a real doctor would have probably stepped in, definitely. But he was greedy, and he knew what he was doing was wrong.
Yeah. So now we are out of medical land. So now we are at the time where Nadia is pregnant with her octuplets.
Mm-hmm.
At this time, she is taking off disability after collecting $165,000 in total over the years. And I could not see why she was taking off disability. But at this time, Nadia is living at home with her parents. And her mom says Nadia tried to hide the pregnancy at first. And the way Nadia is providing for these kids is with her student loans and help from her parents.
Oh, Lord.
So already 6 children that she really can't afford, and she's about to get 8 more. And this is where Nadia almost comes off like as a teenager with her thinking. Like every time she talks about it, she just thinks everything is going to fall into place. Once she graduates with her master's, she'll be able to afford the kids. At this time, Nadia is 33, but she comes off very naive and very foolish about this. And yes, there was this doctor who should not have implanted her with so many embryos, but even if it only resulted in 1 more child, Nadia cannot financially care for these children. Her own mom called her selfish, saying they had to eat in shifts with so many kids and there was a pile of clothes, dirty clothes everywhere.
Yeah, like I said, after she had, like, I could maybe excuse you getting, like, the first one, but this after the second one, it's like, girl, you knew what you were doing was wrong. First of all, you're having these by yourself. You don't have a partner. You're on disability. Apparently, you're not even feeding them yourself. You've roped your parents into this as well, and it's just like you want child goals, and you don't even have financial goals. You're trying to get a boy, a girl, twins, triplets. 3,000. Let's just stop.
Yeah,
look at your life.
If she could afford the children, I don't think it would be that big of a deal. You know, people have large families all the time, but she has no plans to really of how to take care of them. It's always something's going to fall into place. It's going to work out once this happens or that happens.
Exactly. Yeah.
So the public see no other way that Nadia is going to afford these kids besides welfare. There is outrage. You know, she expects the good people of California to pay for her children.
Yeah, you know, people hate people on welfare, you know, taking the government cheese.
It is really hard to explain how large this outrage was, unless you were there. Like, if you were living through this time and watching the news about Nadia Solomon, because people really hated her. But Nadia is determined not to go on welfare. Once the octuplets were born, there was also calls for her children to be removed from her because people believe she could be mentally fit.
I mean, I understand why. I mean, I think people were out of control as well, but I do think that it's a viable question with you already having 6 kids that you are struggling to take care of, that your family has stepped in, and you having 8 literal babies in addition.
Yes. So
get 8 children, 8 newborns at once. Can you believe?
I cannot. And
oh my God.
That's why Nadia is, she's definitely in the wrong, but having 8 children, I don't believe was her fault. I believe that was the doctor's fault. So there is, you know, we can share some of the blame there.
Yeah, it does kind of suck. It's like, yeah, she was irresponsible, but she didn't mean to be that irresponsible at that point. Like, she thought she was going to have her little 7, 8. She didn't know she was going to have her 7, 8, 9, 10. She didn't know it was gonna be that, but yeah, it's like, it's yeah, yeah.
So from here, everything Nadia did was being documented. She was seen at the bank, and an article was ran saying Nadia at the bank, and you know, tongue in cheek saying where she's withdrawing the people's money. Nadia,
she has no money.
Nadia seen at a game store. TMZ calculates the price of 14 controllers. She did pronounce.
Fuck y'all. Let me get controllers for these kids. I need some distractions. Fuck.
And it's not like, you know, the babies will be playing with controllers.
Yeah, like, okay, I get it. Y'all trying to clock me, but damn.
She gets her nails done. Articles are written about that. Joanne Killeen would be Nadia's first publicist, and she quit from the amount of death threats she received just for representing Nadia. She says Wanda says Nadia's uterus should be ripped out and Joanne should be paralyzed.
That's what I'm saying. People take it too far because they're literal miserable assholes. Like, not only miserable, but like misogynistic. And you want to like, you can't critique somebody without going like over the edge and using violence.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a, at this point, it does become like a public discourse and people are allowed to criticize that. But it's taking a step a little bit too far.
Yeah, like, what the fuck is that even? First of all, if you already have a problem with Nadia, you got a problem with her. What is going on in your life so bad that not only have you taken to attacking Nadia on a public format in a public forum, but I have looked up, found out who her publicist is, and now has transferred that hate to her. Like, talk about people who are fucking unwell.
Do you know how deep in the lore you have to be to know the publicist's name?
Like, you're something is truly wrong with you, and I hope that your family is safe from you.
So, Nadia's van is seen with a boot on it for not paying tickets, and her mother's house that she lives in is to be auctioned off since they had not paid rent in months.
This is embarrassing publicly. Like, going through all this publicly.
Yeah, so there is outrage when Nadia is seen in a makeup store and buys a $14.50 tube of lip gloss. Which, at this point, yes, she should be more financially smart with her money. But that tube of lip gloss ain't gonna save the house. You know?
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, that $14 thing is not getting that boot off. It's like already done.
At that point, Nadia does not have the money. Like, if she has $50 to her name, like, let her buy the damn lip gloss, I guess.
Like, I got a boot on my car. Let me buy me some boots to feel better. I feel you. I'll get you a little bit.
Nadia is seen at the gas station where this random woman just starts yelling at her, get a life, get a job. That's our tax money. And Nadia hides behind a Scooby-Doo book as her gas is being pumped.
Oh, Lord.
So
y'all need to get a life.
Yeah. Like, I just can't imagine being that angry over it. Like, I get it. Okay. We all want to say where our tax money is going, and we don't want it to go to someone who doesn't deserve it, I guess.
Yes. But I don't see you yelling at everybody.
Yeah.
Or you letting people yell at you every time you make a fucked up decision or a mistake.
So some previous 911 calls come out in March, back when Nadia was still pregnant, where Nadia called saying she couldn't locate one of her children and she was going to kill herself. And she keeps saying that over and over again, I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to kill myself.
All right. Not
the child. Yeah. The child was later found to be with the grandmother, and Nadia would say she was very hormonal because of her pregnancy and didn't mean it.
Yeah, you have 8 children in your fucking body.
Yeah, so I can understand that. But it does paint the picture of this woman is not mentally fit.
Yeah, it still says that, yeah, she shouldn't have these kids by herself. She was in over her head.
Another call from a neighbor is released where he claims the children are dirty and not being fed. Nadia says the neighbor was just mad at the children were a little too loud. Child services did investigate and found nothing wrong, so more ammunition for her being an unfit mother. Mm-hmm. All the octuplets are not home yet, and there is talk that she will lose custody of them if she is deemed unfit. So March 8, 2009, her babies were born late January, so 2 months afterwards.
Yeah.
Her second publicist quits, this time saying Nadia is nuts and got real greedy. He also said it was just too much.
I wonder what the greedy part means.
Well, around this time, Nadia is making money. I don't know how many, but she was getting paid for some of these interviews, if not all.
Mm-hmm.
She was on Dr. Phil, Dr. Drew, so many morning talk shows. And I have to assume she had some sort of agreement with Radar Online, since she had a daily diary and they got exclusive or first interviews.
Lord. Okay.
And whatever happened to Radar Online? Every time I try to use that site for, like, you know, these older stories, it's like the site can't be found or it pops up so many different ads. It's like, Radar Online, you had it one time, girl, and you lost.
Used to be the it girl. Now you're not it girl.
When Nadia returns home with two of their octuplets, there is a media frenzy. There is a video of it, and these paparazzi are trying to tear down the garage door to, I guess, take photos of Nadia returning home with two of the kids.
That's what I was saying. Like, people are fucking feral. Like, what do you want me to do? Throw the baby in the air? Like, what? I've never...
Out the window.
Yeah, the way they descend on people, you're not even getting good photos. I mean, I know it's in a way to, like, not only to be first, but also kind of in a way provoked, but it's like, Jesus. Like, that's why I liked when we went through that small period of time where they were like finding paparazzi or like placing laws on them in California, but I don't know.
It definitely has calmed down a little bit, but yeah, that's just crazy to try to be breaking down a garage. It honestly looks like a freaking zombie movie, like the clip I saw.
Yeah, and then you're wrong if you start firing on people. I'm not saying you should start firing on people, but I'm just saying, if I just took home if I took home 2 out of 8 babies and y'all are sitting there hassling me, I'm about to make some room and y'all ain't gonna like how I do it.
There is also a protest outside her house, you know, because she's taking their tax money. And Nadia does get assistance with Angels in Waiting, an organization of volunteer nurses. At first, the organization reaches out privately, but when they don't get a response, they go publicly with an interview with Julie Chen and their attorney, Gloria Allred.
Okay, now y'all are assholes.
I was just going to ask, like, you that.
Okay, you were trying to do something. Forget who Nadia is, whether she's a good or a bad mother. She has the right whether to be a good or bad mother by refusing your help. The fact that y'all are so, was it a gesture in good faith? No, not you went private and then you didn't get the answer or response you wanted in the timely fashion or at all. And you said, guess what? This is not a good person. She doesn't want this free help. Could you believe this? Listen to our lawyer. Why are you bringing your lawyer? What is Gloria doing here?
Yeah, like, are you guys going to shame her into accepting help? Like, I don't know. At the very best, you can think they're actually concerned for these babies. So maybe that's why they want to get in there and help. But
then join the fucking protest, bitches. Don't sit there and try to do this under, like, I don't know.
They're trying,
like,
to force her hand to accept them.
It's like, it seems like you kind of low-key did this for, like, PR or clout, or I don't understand.
That's kind of how I saw it, as PR. Like, if, you know, I don't really know about Angels in Waiting. So if they're just volunteer nurses helping out, then that's an amazing thing. Like, good for you guys. But I don't know. Was it just to get, like, their name or recognition? I don't know. It did rub me the wrong way going publicly with that.
Yeah, it's like they're dogpiling on her. I get it. She's not being a good role model. She has these children. But I do feel like at one point, like... I feel like the proper authorities have been alerted and they're going to deal with her. Everybody outside her fucking house and going on TV discussing her children isn't saving the children's lives either.
No. So Nadia accepts their assistance, but the relationship soon sours. She says she feels like the nurses were judging her and spying on her.
They definitely were. They were fucking snitches.
So the relationship was short-lived. I believe only a day. I could be wrong about that, but it was not long. Nadia would have to call 911 to get Gloria to leave her house.
What? Gloria!
Gloria Allred would go to give interviews saying Nadia was just interested in fame and used the children as props. And once the media left, she handed the children to the nurses and slept through the night. Which, I am a Nadia apologist, but isn't that what the nurses are there for? So
she has 27 children. What do you mean she handed the children off to the nurses and went to fucking bed? Of course she did. You forced her to take your help. But you, what did you want her to do? Not use you? To sit there and say, no, nurses, I'll get you lemonade. You sit here and watch me be a good mother. No, fuck y'all. Y'all done forced me to take your help. Take care of this goddamn baby. In fact, I'm going to sit there and get naked. And I want y'all to put my shit in the laundry room right now. In fact, I don't even feel like putting this breast pump on. Nurse 2 and 5, why don't y'all put this on here, affix these, and squeeze the boobs rhythmically so I can get this juice out. And then close my eyelids and then open them back up in 5 hours after my nap is done. Like, fuck y'all. I have the nerve of these people. She just gave them to the nurses and went to sleep. She just pushed 8 of these. Not even fully out. They had to rip her open to take these babies out. What do you mean? She's not even healed. She's only been able to buy lipstick for herself. She's tired. She's tired. There's a boot on her car. Y'all are following her. Oh, I hate these people. Why are y'all making me be on Nadia's side?
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's so much wrong here for Nadia, but I don't know. It's just, it gets too much that I'm like, why? Like, when someone's that much hated, I'm like, well, hold on now. So, where was that? Okay, so I think it's just a bizarre thing to say after, you know, if it was a day or a week, it wasn't long. But Gloria would say she was suing on the behalf of the Octuplets for child labor since there was talk about a reality show. And Gloria is gonna Gloria. You always hear these lawsuits from her that don't really go anywhere. And Vivid Entertainment offers nannies and a 7-figure payday and health insurance if Nadia agrees on a reality show. Only catches, the nannies all have to be porn stars, and Nadia has to be semi-nude.
Yeah, I didn't want to say nothing, but I heard that company name, and I was like, don't they do porn?
Yeah, it's a porn.
I was trying to out myself, but I heard about them before. Gloria pisses me off, and that's one of those reasons why it hurts me when she's defending a victim of like a heinous crime or something that's happened to him. And I think about cases like these and those other ones where she's like an asshole in the story. She's not a good person. Like, you did this for literally the spotlight. You can't convince me otherwise that Gloria does not get involved in this if she's not Octomom. If she's a regular mom, if she just had like a lot of children, like she's, Gloria be pissing me off.
Gloria does do an amazing job of bringing attention to women who need help. Like, I see it all the time. Like, there's usually a victim that happens to be a woman, and Gloria brings all her tactics in, and we're all hearing about it. But then I don't know what happens, but it leaves a bad taste in my mouth, and it just rubs me the wrong way, the way Gloria moves.
Yeah, I agree.
Let me light an incense.
Sage it out. Gloria done fucked us up.
Okay.
I just can't believe, you done forced this woman to put these nurses in her house. Now she done kicked you nurses out because y'all were judging ass snitches. And y'all wouldn't let her sleep. And then you got the nerve to say, you know what? And now I'm going to sue on the behalf of these children.
She sues on the behalf of someone else too. But, you know, it just doesn't really turn into anything. Nadia surprisingly doesn't take the offer from Vivid Entertainment.
I mean, she wants fame. She don't want that type of fame. Even she know that ain't going to bode well.
Nadia has said from the beginning, because she was getting a lot of porn offers, that she is not going to become nude. She's not going to do porn. I don't know. If I can see why, like, if you're going to do maybe like a Simple Life type of thing, like, oh, these porn stars need to learn how to raise babies, maybe. Mm-hmm. But the clause of Nadia has to be semi-nude, like, why are we trying to sexualize the care of babies? Like, where are we going with this?
You know what? We want to see, oh, let's see what the what she looks like after having those children. Let's body shame her. Or let's objectify her. What does she look like? Does she still look this? She look horrible? Does she look terrible? Like, it's, they want to make her a spectacle. Like, she's, they don't view her as a person.
No.
She's a product.
So March 25th, 2009, Nadia Solomon does go through $1,500 on new clothes. Again, this woman is losing her home, but can spend money on all these new clothes. I sympathize with her, but it only goes so far. Even if she's trying to pivot this newfound fame and money into more of a career, $1,500 does seem excessive.
Yeah, you're doing too much. The worst I do is when I'm going through a bad time, I get some food. But that's only like, that's like one good, like, I shouldn't be having this meal. I'm not about to gorge. Girl, pay the house down. Get on a payment plan.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Just $1,500 seems excessive. Even if you're like, I need new clothes to go on these new talk shows, like, you can get that at a lot cheaper price.
Exactly. I agree.
April 1st, 2009, someone goes to Nadia's home and grabs a car seat that was left on the front porch and uses it to smash the back window of Nadia's car at night.
Okay. You're a piece of shit because why? Why? What does that do? That's literally just punishing the children. Yeah, it hurts Nadia, but ultimately the children.
Yeah, that's the car the children ride around in.
Yeah, in the car seat that the child needs to be in. Secondly, why are we leaving car seats on the front porch? That makes no sense, too.
Because there's so many of them, I guess.
There's not no room in the house. I get that. But that sucks. People are just, like I said, people are literally terrible people. That's why it's like, I'd be feeling sorry for humans. And then at the same time, I'd be like, humans are fucking terrible. And if we don't all survive, because a meteor hits us, I'm not mad. Because y'all are shitty people.
That one, just the car seat, smashing it into the car. I just want to sit down with a person like that. I'm like, what were you thinking? What outcome were you seeking from this?
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
June 1st, 2009, Nadia would buy a new home. $564,000 instead of paying off the debt of her mom's house of $534,000.
Choices.
Nadia's dad is technically the buyer, so I'm assuming the family made a decision that it would be better to purchase the new home than try to save the old home. Also, it's safe to assume they didn't pay it outright in cash. Like, that's what the house was worth, but they did not pay all that.
Yeah.
So, July 17, 2009, one of Nadia's sons is rushed to the hospital, not one of the octuplets, after ingesting a salt-based solution that led to him vomiting. He returned home the next day. Nadia has a constant team of nannies, so it's not like the child was not being watched. But I'm honestly surprised this did not pick up more. Maybe people were oversaturated with the Octomom news, or they were just not surprised. You know, it's just like, we told you so.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, I do wonder why that wasn't bigger news, especially since for, you know, a lot of the people who hate her, it would validate their claims that she's not a good mother. Even if this was an accident that nobody could foresaw, or, you know, he was being watched, he literally just disappeared for a second and got into some stuff. But I wonder what it was. Huh.
Yeah, that's when it said salt-based solution. I'm like, what could that be?
And it's making him, like, vomit to the point where he has to go to the hospital. Like, I do wonder.
And I think this shows that by this time, the interviews are drying up. The paydays and donations are ending. Because by March 19, 2010, less than a year after purchasing her home, Nadia is behind on payments and facing foreclosure.
Girl, you should have. People always be thinking they're gonna let that 15 minute stretch. You better let that shit stretch into a job. You need to get you a job while you're doing this. I'm telling you, you gotta do something. Something's gonna happen.
I think she was really trying to lean into that Octomom persona and pivot that 15 minutes of fame into some sort of career. But there's a difference from having a viral moment where people love you and being that infamous. Like, you can only go so far. Unless you're going to have 8 more kids, 10 more kids, you know, there's nothing you can really do.
Well, also, to me, it seems like she didn't all the way commit, honestly. And this is going to sound bad, but with how many kids she had, the debt that she was in, and, like, the goals that she kind of, like, didn't set for herself, she should have leaned all the way in. I'm not saying to take the porn offers, but maybe you should have done more reality TV shows. Maybe you should have gotten a reality TV show based off your family. Maybe you should have tried to write a book. Maybe you should have done all that shit. Just because you just relying on interviews makes absolutely no sense. The tide will turn. Time will pass. There will be another scandal bigger than you. But if you're on TV and people constantly see you, you're constantly in people's brain, their mind, they're going to keep talking about you. You'll keep generating income. You might be able to develop a brand. She didn't do it right to me. You wanted to keep your privacy, but you also wanted the fame. And now you have neither, but you still got all these babies. I just felt like if you wanted all this, you kind of should have did it up big, honestly, to me.
Yeah, I agree. Like,
Kris Jenner it.
Yeah, something was not working. And I hate to say go into porn, because that would have been probably her best moneymaker, especially Nadia does bounce back, you know, she becomes fit. But she was so against porn, but that, I hate to say it, because, you know, I feel like the porn industry is very predatory, like how they came at her.
Yeah, I want to know your full thought, because what do you mean? She should have took the porn? That's what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that, but, like, that would have been her biggest payday. Like,
you think so?
They were offering, like, at least $1 million.
I think it would have fucked her up. I think if she takes the porn, she's still in the same position that this did. I think she would have got the money too fast, without a plan, and if she doesn't do well, as in perform well, they're not going to want to put her on another porn movie. They got what they wanted, so they don't need to do a sequel. So then she doesn't get another porn payday, and then everybody who doesn't like adult entertainers, everybody who doesn't associate with porn stars, everybody who doesn't like that, never reaches out again. Nobody talks to her anymore who doesn't associate with that. So then she's closed a whole avenue of potential interviews, associations, networking. I don't think that would have been the right decision for her if she did that.
I just hate how these porn companies don't. Like, I know Lindsay Lohan, when she was, like, down, that's when she did Playboy. And I hate how when these women don't have any other choice, they have to go to porn. And it's like, it's very predatory to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not shaming any sex workers. Like, if that feels liberating to you, if you love to do it, do it. But I don't know. It's just like you're at rock bottom and they just come knocking and trying to show you a light. And it's like, but that's not what you want. It's very yucky.
Yeah, I get exactly what you mean.
So talk about knocking. Vivid Entertainment President Stephen Hirsch comes in again, trying to save the day. Willing to pay the $460,000 Nadia needs to repay her loan if Nadia makes a porn tape. And yeah, she declined. She declined. She has repeatedly said she does not want to do porn, but would do anything else. So Nadia
says, no, I want to see it.
Nadia is able to get an extension as long as she pays her monthly payments of $4,060. On time. And September 16, 2010, she is once again facing eviction. Amir Hadin owns the note on Nadia's home, and he is constantly going to the media wanting his money. And Vivid Entertainment is constantly offering Nadia money if she stars in a film.
Yeah, I mean, that landlord or owner or whoever, they're a piece of shit. Go through the court. If you want your money and you want her ass out, go through the court. You already know the law's on your side if she's behind on her payments. Sooner rather than later, she's going to have to get out. She get the eviction order, you get the sheriff involved, whatever, foreclosure, whatever the case may be.
There was one TMZ article where Amir gave a quote of saying, like, if she doesn't pay, I'm going to publicly humiliate her.
Like, what's the point of that? What's the point of even associating with her if this is what, how you're going to treat her? Like, I don't get it. I get it. You want your money, but there's also being, like, there's having humanity. And there, this does not get you your money quicker or faster. This also doesn't look well on you. You look like a greedy, miserable bastard. I mean, she doesn't look good either, but you look like shit in comparison. You look like a trash-ass, Scrooge-ass Grinch.
So somehow, some way, Nadia gets some money for the monthly payments and gets another extension. January 12th.
She probably got secret benefactors. There's some people who probably really fuck with Nadia in the back who are giving her money in the, every once in a while, because I don't understand how she's getting this money. Somebody out there supports her.
That is true. There was one article where it was like Nadia's, you know, in TMZ, they keep updating it. So it's like Nadia gets kicked out of gym because she can't afford gym payments, or she's behind gym payments. Mm-hmm. And then it's like someone pays for a year of Nadia's gym payments. So like she does have people who funnel money into her for whatever reason. They feel bad for her, they're attracted to her, whatever.
Yeah.
So January 12th, 2011, here's Stephen Hirsch, president of Vivid Entertainment. He offers to pay a month of Nadia's mortgage. He also meets with Amir to see about buying out the mortgage note, which Nadia would not accept the payment.
Yeah, get your thirsty ass on. Damn, Steve. Find you a woman. Get you a wife, girlfriend, or mistress, or whatever. Stop trying to sniff on her.
He does seem to have
Nadia's stuff. You said what?
He does seem to have like an obsession with her. Like every time it's like Nadia's financially in trouble, here comes Stephen Hirsch. You thought about porn lately?
Yeah. You want to show that cooch? You want to bust it open? You want to do the upside down hangman? I don't know. Like, Lord.
So Nadia would make a fetish video where she is dressed in a corset, whipping a guy dressed in a diaper and a bib. I don't think that was with Vivid Entertainment, and there was no nudity. But
and that was a choice.
It's very odd. She did it for a payday. It's very odd, though. I don't know. It's like all these things that she does is always like baby related. It's like, can we separate that? Like, even if it's like that's what she's famous for, like, let's separate it. That's like disgusting.
I mean, I honestly don't feel like with you having all those children and them being so young, you should be doing anything involving diapers that is not with them kids.
It
does not look good, but whatever pays the rent, I guess.
So April 2011, an interview with In Touch magazine would come out where Nadia is quoted as saying she hates babies, that they disgust her, and she hides in her restroom and cries. Nadia says that is not true. She never gave an In Touch interview, and she never has time to hide in the restroom.
Yeah, everybody got to pee. There's 17 people in there. People got to use it.
Only problem is there is an audio recording of her giving this interview.
Oh, damn, Nadia. You didn't check. Not check to make sure that there was no secret tapes on you.
It's slightly out of context. She was not saying her babies disgust her, but it was in relation when they asked her if she would want more kids. She says when she goes outside and hears a crying baby, she cringes and then says the babies disgust her. But still, she did say it.
Yes. Also, she has 8 newborn children, toddler infants. I don't like babies either. They're
about 2.
Terrible twos. Uh-huh. 2 times 8 is 16.
And then you got the other sense of the multiplication.
Well, I ain't got time for that. I hate babies too. But yeah, to be fair, context is important, and maybe you shouldn't be giving interviews while you're emotional, Nadia. When shit's going on, maybe you shouldn't be on work. You shouldn't be giving out your feelings.
I think it was just I listened to the audio recording, and there was like babies crying in the background. But I think she said it as a joke. But you know, when it's in print, it's not going to come off that way.
Oh, yes. People are terrible about that. Everybody loves a joke. Y'all are not funny.
Someone else who hates babies, Kristen Johnston, an actress, I think. What's that show? Third Rock from the Sun? That's the show she was on.
Yes, yes, yes.
Her and Nadia would get into a spat on a plane. Nadia, with her children, was on the plane, and the plane had been delayed for more than 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, the children were crying, and Kristen walks over to Nadia and tells Nadia to keep it down. Nadia responds with, "How would you like me to keep 8 2-year-olds quiet?" And Kristen said, "Get more help." And Nadia said, "Why don't you grow a baby and get a life?" And I'm going to get on my soapbox here.
Mm-hmm.
Which, fuck right off, Kristen. To be such a scumbag to yell at a mother for having a crying child on an airplane is such a subhuman thing to do. I get it. 8 kids crying does not sound pleasant. But you coming over, stressing the mom out even more, is just so deplorable. You think she wants to hear the crying babies? I'm not saying I wish ill on Kristen, but if only bad things happened in Kristen's life from here on out, oh well. It just pisses me off to no end when shit stains like her go after crying toddlers. Like, I never understand it.
Not shit stains.
Like, it, like, if it's one child or 8 kids, like, why? Like, what is you going over there telling the mom, "Hey, quiet your children down"? Like, what the fuck is that going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't get it. And as soon as I saw that, I looked up that bitch's filmography and I'm like, I need to watch shit you're in. And thank God you're not in shit because you're not a good actress.
Damn.
I don't know. That's just, like, I'm not the biggest kid person. Like, you know, I love my nieces and nephews. I love the kids close to me. But I don't think, personally, would I have kids? Probably not. But, like, that just pisses me off. I don't know. It's just, it always starts a nerve with me when people try to do that. Like, I get if a child is misbehaving and you try to, like, step up and, like, hey, like, you know, don't let your child misbehave like that. Like, okay, that's a whole different topic. But a 2-year-old, how do you control that?
Yeah, I do not fly. I do not see myself flying anytime soon. But I am of the mindset that life is not fair and life sometimes sucks. And so sometimes you'll have an easy day and an easy experience. And some days you will have a not so easy day and a not so great experience. One of those experiences, I think, is very much 50-50 is traveling. I think everybody wants to have good travel days and a good travel experience, but not everybody gets that. And especially when it comes to weather, people, and children. So I am of the mindset that, yes, if you see a child who is misbehaving, putting themselves in your space or your things, and the parents are not doing anything, or if there's a baby who is just crying, not being fed, settled, or anything, or changed in the parents or anything, I fully understand speaking up and being that confrontational person who says, okay, I got to say something. But sometimes you come across a situation that is so peculiar, so different, it's not the rule, the exception, that maybe you should just sit your dumb ass down and understand that this is just not going to be a good day and that you're just going to have to get over it. And then once you leave and get out of that environment, you can turn your day over to the better. So yeah. Why would you think confronting this one woman with these 8 children would get you a better experience? What did you, I'm with Nadia. What do you want me to do? You want to grab a couple, bitch?
Yeah. Like, if you want to speak up, if you want to quiet the situation so bad, say, is there anything I can help you with? Can I grab you something?
Something. Either be helpful to the solution or take yourself out of the equation.
Get some earbuds, get some headphones, and shut the fuck up like you want those kids to. Like
that's all I'm saying. You make this bearable for you because you see that this situation is so different that there's not much that you can do.
Yeah. If there's
I like her. She's a decent actress. I think she's cool.
She's
but girl.
Honestly, this might make me seem bad, and I don't care. I saw when I looked her up, I saw something bad about her, and I don't even remember what. And I'm like, I'm glad. I don't wish her bad, but if stuff bad happens, I ain't. under protest.
I hate to say this, sorry to that woman.
So from here, Nadia tries celebrity boxing, which she won. She stars in an indie low-budget horror film. She gets a six-figure deal to give parenting advice on a web series.
They should have got her on one of them Sharknados.
They should have. Then she gets dropped by her management for being too flaky, getting gigs, then canceling them, usually saying no babysitter. She makes a song. There was a website that would host debates between celebrities. I feel like it was before Cameo. And I never understood it, but like she'd debate Michael Lohan, stuff like that.
Oh, Lord, he's out of control. Nobody should talk to that man.
No. So she tries to put her home up for sale, and then she does pose topless for $10,000.
April. 10 is what brought the boobs out, girl. I feel like you could have got a good 25. Somebody should have negotiated it better.
Vivid Entertainment president, he was like, she's ruining her stock by posing topless.
I feel like if you would have, once you open up the door for some nudity, I feel like you got to do it at a high price point because, yes, then people are just going to start lowballing you with the same offer. They're going to start lowballing you, but they want you to show more.
April 2012, Nadia has said for years she would not do porn or go on welfare. Well, she already posed topless.
Mm-hmm. And
now she did go on food stamps. Food stamps is different from welfare, but for the general public, it does not matter.
She said, I'm tired of paying for shit.
Which she received $2,000 a month for the 14 children.
Woo!
She said in the Dr. Drew interview I was watching that when she had six children, she received $500 a month. So I'm not sure when she got off food stamps, because when she had all tuplets, she said she was not on food stamps, but then she got back on. So I'm not sure when she got off and got back on, but for the all 14, she got $2,000 a month. But she claims their food cost is about $4,000 a month.
Hmm. I mean, the thing is, I know how to work a budget, so... But she got a lot of kids.
You can read that down. I can read that down for you.
I'm saying, I feel like if I had all them kids in this house, we would have made it work. But also, people don't know how to make it work like that. Some people just don't know how to live within their means. People don't know how to budget. No, people don't know how to sacrifice. And it's clear from what you've talked about, she has a pattern of not knowing how to properly spend and budget her money. So it would not surprise me that this is a sufficient amount of money for those children. She just doesn't know what she's doing. But it also could not be, because she's like in California, and I don't know what things cost, and I don't know, whatever. Shit's different over here. It's high, but it's a different type of high. California is, I'm led to believe, is a higher cost of living.
What is 14 divided by, let's say, 15, including Nadia? I mean, it's 2,000. 2,000 divided by 15 would be, I mean, 133 per person for a month. I feel like maybe you're right. That should be enough to feed them, right?
I don't know. Now you got me questioning. Only yeah, 130 to feed me for a month?
Per person. I mean, you could
do it. Yeah. Like $3. Because they're kids, I feel like you can get away with it. If it's not 8 and 6 adults. What's 6 plus 8? That's bad. What? I have not been doing that math correctly. I just thought about that. 6 plus 8, that's embarrassing.
So, you know, this causes the firestorm, the media firestorm, to come again, because she is now on food stamps. And
why are y'all, what are y'all looking at her paperwork?
She gets death threats, people calling her, someone smashing out her car windows, leaving a handwritten note saying, leave California or you will die. And
now you're going to kill me.
This angers people more when it's revealed she spent $520 on a Brazilian blowout and two haircuts. Then,
I had to look nice for my titties are on magazines. I would like to look nice.
Then the hairdresser who cut Nadia's hair in her house calls children's services and we see inside the house. Only one toilet works, with the younger children using training toilets in the backyard.
Oh.
A door being propped closed with a chair with "Do Not Enter" written on the door. The hairdresser alleged it was to lock the kids in a room. Nadia alleges it was for the kids would not go into the room to keep them more contained. Child Services investigates but does not find anything. And
they're Nadia using the bathroom outside.
I was so torn about that because they were training toilets.
But only one toilet works. And if the training, if there's not, I don't even know. Let me stop. I just.
Okay. After this, Nadia would get her two other restrooms fixed, but.
Okay. Well, I'm glad somebody forced her to clean shit up and fix shit. But I just feel like, okay, I can say them nurses and Gloria, I feel like were never trying to be on the right side of history to me. But you pay this hairdresser to come to your house to pay to do your hair. She does it. You pay her. And maybe she's just so horrified. She doesn't contact the media. She doesn't go to the paparazzi. She goes to the rightful authorities and tells them, not lies, but what's truly going on in your house, because I feel like she was that upset by it. And it is like the other people, I feel like, were about something, like they had their own ulterior motives. But this person feels like she was the most genuine out of all of them. So I felt like maybe they should have, I don't know, took her concerns more seriously. But if she fixed some things, I guess that's good. But these many reports, ain't she getting a file?
I guess so, but I don't know. Like, even if I did their training toilets and, you know, they don't have, like, plumbing in them, you have to, like, empty them yourself.
Yeah.
Well, I put them outside. That's what I don't get. Like,
that's bugs. It's not good. That's unsafe.
Even if you have a privacy fence, you want your children shitting and pissing outside?
That too. You're exposing. Yeah. That's not good. It's creeps.
You know what's kind of crazy, though? The Brazilian blowout company, after this, they gave, like, Nadia free stuff because they're like, you don't pay tax money. You can get it for free.
I guess.
Like,
what the fuck?
I guess maybe they thought it was, like, bad press. I don't know. I don't know. Like, why would
I can't believe one of our stylists snitched on you. Like, we don't want you to take action against us. Here's free trims for life. I don't know.
So Child Service investigates, but does not find anything. What they do find, you know, she fixes. She cleans the graffiti off the door that says "Do Not Enter." She fixes her toilets. October 12th, Nadia files for bankruptcy, but doesn't do all the proper paperwork, so it doesn't go through.
Girl!
Nadia would finally agree to do a porn video, not with Vivid Entertainment, for an undisclosed amount. She says she had to do it to step up to provide for her kids. It's also a solo video. She would also start stripping. She originally backed out of it because someone at the club in an interview implied she might be fully naked for the right price and give lap dances. And the bartender saying Nadia might be a little crazy to have that many kids. But then there was something about a lawsuit, and then Nadia does start stripping. But she was able to get off food stamps for a while from the income before going back on. Her house was foreclosed, but she got another. She would stop stripping after saying her daughter wore her stripper heels and she didn't want that for her. But Nadia did not disclose her income from porn and the residuals it got and stripping. So she was sued for taking the food stamps, which she took a plea deal to.
Yeah, the people are watching you, Nadia. They're clocking you at every turn. First of all, I love that she went back on the porn and said, okay, but never fucking for you, Steve.
I do love that.
I love that she said, okay, I'm going to do it, but fuck you forever, Viv. Number two, I'm not surprised that she did a solo video. Just like her children rearing, Nadia likes to have everything solo. She does not do this with partners.
She and had been like celibate for like 15 years at that point too.
Bro, imagine being celibate, but just you keep popping out kids. I can't believe it. Not even one gentleman caller? Not even one? Okay, girl. But yeah, she is a peculiar woman to me. The moves that she makes and in the order that she makes them is so confusing. Stripping and doing the porn, not filing for bankruptcy correctly, foreclosing on two homes and each time buying a new one, leaving your house in such bad conditions until you get reported. I don't know. I'm on nobody's side. Everybody.
Not either.
Everybody in the story, except for the hairstylist, hairdresser who tried to help them children, sucks.
She did go to rehab for a Xanax addiction for 30 days. And in a bizarre turn of events, one of Nadia's former nannies, Gina Bryson, alleged that one of Nadia's children was sexually abusing another one.
Oh, no.
When brought to Nadia's attention, Gina claims Nadia brushed off, saying it's no big deal and not to worry about it. Gina also claimed that the child watched Nadia's porn film. The DA did not take on the case, saying not enough evidence. And then Gina is given a restraining order against Gina to stay 100 feet away from the 11-year-old boy, because it is alleged that Gina started with the false allegations against the child after being fired, and Gina would excessively call and text the 11-year-old boy. So,
oh, girl. What is going on?
Very, very bizarre. Like, she made this up about 11-year-old boy because what? Like, what was her relation with that 11-year-old boy? Like, that is so, so weird, bizarre. Like, I don't even want to think about, like...
I don't either. About it.
Yeah, so that is kind of, like, after that, Nadia has left the public domain, the public sphere. She pops up every now and then, you know, just here's the update of the kids. They're in school today. Their 14th birthday, 15th birthday now. But other than that, like, I don't know what she's doing.
I don't care if she's good now or not. I hope all them kids get a scholarship, get grants, do whatever they need to, and get the fuck out of there. I need y'all to do the best you can in school and be the best you can be so you can get far away from your environment. I don't even know what the hell to say about Nadia. Like, she was not, I mean, she wasn't shit, but some of those people around her ain't shit either. And they made it a lot harder for her. I truly believe that she would have had it hard no matter what. But the media attention and the hate and the paparazzi, like, it definitely didn't help. And I wonder if, like, whether it's, like, they remember it or not, if any of those kids, like, have, like, issues related to that to this day. I don't know. This shit's crazy.
If the octuplets don't, I feel like the older ones have.
Definitely the older ones. Especially, imagine growing up and hearing at least that last story in the news about yourself. Like, putting the pieces together and hearing that old babysitter accused one of your siblings of sexually assaulting another one. And you put the pieces together and they're talking about your ass. And you didn't even know that. It's crazy.
There's a few times where, like, you know, people are yelling at Nadia in public and, like, the children are there. Some of the children are with her. And it's like,
yeah.
Imagine, like, growing up, like, you're actually living through the Scarlet Letter book. And I know Nadia, one of her most recent posts on Instagram, because I was, like, looking up her Instagram, she's, like, posted the kids the octuplets for the first day of school. And she was like, for the haters, I don't post the older children because I respect their privacy and they asked me not to, and you should too. So obviously the older kids have asked her not to post about them.
Yeah, they're done with this shit. They didn't really have much of a choice when they were so young, but now that they have a lot more autonomy, it's like, I can't keep getting slammed, mom. You got to do the right thing. You got to at least listen to us. So I'm glad she respects them in that effort. Like, they're already probably known to be her children. So don't put me on social media.
Someone who was Nadia's biggest hater, though, who has passed, was Nadia's own mom. Like, she was the one, like, giving interviews saying she's irresponsible, she's selfish, I can't believe she would do this. And Nadia did say, like, 2 years before her mom passed, they finally kind of made up, and she said, I'm glad the Autuplex are here, which I can understand. Like, you're glad your grandchildren are here, but Nadia still made very stupid decisions.
I wonder how that worked. Y'all supporting each other and helping each other out with these children, and then but as you drop off your children or pick them up or whatever, you see your mom's interview. What?
I kind of take it as
they both had issues.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely had issues. I don't think someone becomes like Nadia without issues.
I definitely, yeah.
That's why I said this is not a Justice Four episode, because I'm not saying like Nadia was innocent at all.
Nah.
Because, yeah, she made some really stupid decisions. But that is our episode covering Nadia Suleiman. Do you have anything else to add about Octomom?
Man, the fucking nurses piss me off. Like, what the fuck is their problem, bro? What do you mean she gave y'all the babies and went to sleep?
I couldn't find the interview this time, so I didn't include it. But I remember, you know, I used to watch HLN all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And Nadia was posted there all day, every day. And I remember back in the day, I might be remembering this wrong because I couldn't find it, but Nadia was saying, like, when the nurses were there, they told her, and this is what kind of freaked Nadia out. They said, this baby's so small, look at this bag. Someone could easily fit the baby in here and walk out. Like, why would you say that? Why? Like, if that's true, if what Nadia's saying is true, why would a nurse say that to her?
You gonna bag nap my child?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, y'all are weird. Yeah, that's all. I'm done. They don't. Now I can't even look at nurses the same.
But that is our episode covering Nadia Suleiman, the Octomom. I did see that, and I don't know which way it went. I don't know if her name is Natalie Suleiman, and for some reason she started going by Nadia, or if her name is Nadia Suleiman, and she changed it to Natalie Suleiman, so it's less distinguishable, like a normal job now.
Okay.
But either which way, I've seen it reported both ways, and I honestly don't know.
Girl, if you didn't tell everybody about the universal name change, I'm going to go with the one you got introduced as, Nadia. Yeah. Natalie, when did that happen? Or was you just not going by it? You didn't like your name?
I created
a new one.
But thank you, guys. We do like to end every episode on a positive note with some form of media we want to recommend, discuss, explore, or critique. Should you go first?
I'm still slightly embarrassed. Yeah, I don't want to go first.
Okay, I'll read Trisha's. We got a write-in from Trisha.
Yeah. We need to have a little jingle.
Oh, I'll leave that up to you. Okay. She says, hello, Savior, sorry. Just wanted to share a media with you guys. My media this week is the movie Matilda. I have loved this movie since I was a child. I always wanted to have powers like Matilda. I love the story, and my favorite character is Miss Trunchbull. LOL. Have a wonderful night.
Bruh.
I had to look up who Miss Trunchbull was, and that's the villain.
Yeah, you did.
Like, I love Matilda movie, but I'm like, am I remembering this right?
Yeah, why would you say that your favorite character is Miss Trunchbull, Trisha? Why would you do that? That's funny. Yes, Miss Trunchbull, sir.
You know,
I love Matilda. I literally was just watching it earlier today.
I haven't seen it in years, but every time I eat chocolate cake, I feel like that little chubby boy.
I'm like, come on, Missy. Oh, the fucking part where she brings the lunch lady out. And then she fucking wipes her nose with her arm. That's like a core memory. I never forget that part. Like, every time, like, It's like, if I find myself in a weird situation where my nose is running, it's like, you get that, what is it called? Everybody says your intrusive thoughts win. And I always want to do that and make the noise like, like, it's one of those things. I love Matilda so much.
I do too. I feel like that scene particularly is a core memory for a lot of people.
Yes. And I love the Matilda and Lavender friendship. I mean, especially after switching school systems, when I got older, I kept me a white friend for... I kept me a little partner white girl in the tuck.
Oh my goodness. Was it because of Matilda you thought they had magical powers?
Unfortunately, no. None of the white girls saved me. No, but maybe subconsciously, I was just like, maybe I'll find my Matilda.
Oh my goodness.
I gave up after high school. That bitch is... she scarred everybody. She scarred me for life.
Yeah, Matilda is such a great movie. I said that. I referenced the chocolate cake eating scene around a bunch of younger coworkers, and no one understood it. And it was very devastating to me.
Oh, man. I hate when you quote something you love and people are like, eh? I'm like, oh, I'll just screw myself then.
I think especially outside of, you know, the podcast, I reference things so much and I hate when people don't do it. But when that one time when they do, I'm like, oh my goodness.
We got one. We got a live one.
Okay, so your turn or my turn?
Your turn.
Oh. Okay. I was not ready for this.
Okay, I'll go. Mine's stupid. Okay. It's just perfect. So stupid. Okay, so I was prepared to bring Baby Reindeer because I was watching it. I heard all the talk and I wanted to explore the talk. And once I played it, I got hooked, but then I also got distracted, so I didn't finish it. So I'm not bringing Baby Reindeer right now, but I will finish it.
Okay.
What happened was, what were we talking about earlier before we started recording?
Fan fiction?
Yeah, but what was we relating it to?
What did fan fiction come up for?
I literally forgot.
Penny and Christina.
Yes, we were talking about Grey's Anatomy. Okay, yes. So we were talking about how basically I hoped for a pair that was never going to be in Grey's Anatomy, Teddy and Christina, and how reading fan fiction back in the day, it still wires your brain to like certain tropes and certain characters or whatever. So I was on YouTube and Twitter, and I kept seeing these two people on these press interviews, and I was like, okay, what? I don't know. I wasn't pulled in, but then for some reason I started playing them. I was like, oh, y'all are adorable. The other cast interviews. I was like, okay, what is this about? It was over Bridgerton. So I got pulled into this Bridgerton hole where now I have skipped both one and two and the rest of Queen Charlotte, which I have not finished because Trisha told me to watch Queen Charlotte. Sorry. And I never finished it. Sorry. It stalled out for me and I never got back to it, but I will. I watched season 3, part 1, and I said, oh my God, now I fucking got to watch Bridgerton. After years have passed and I said I was never going to watch this show because it wasn't my thing and it didn't make sense to me. And now they done made me like Penelope. And so now I love Penelope so much. And now I got to rewatch everything just so
Is she the bitter girl?
Yes.
Okay.
I was like, go ahead and try to make her the focal point of the season. Why are you trying to pull in all the big people?
You know,
big girls love romance.
I have heard like people say that they never watched Bridgerton, but they tuned in for that season.
I just was like, okay, y'all kind of cute, and she's funny. You know what she reminds me of? She reminds me of like Adele because I used to love Adele when she did interviews. I mean, I love Adele, period. But when I loved Adele's music, I started watching everything that she did, including the interviews. Uh-huh. She just reminds me. She gives off that vibes, and I like when people are just like funny and awkward and adorable. And I was like, man, Now I gotta put another show on my belt buckle. I don't ever watch TV anymore. It's so tedious. But now it's embarrassing because I love the whole thing. I've done watched all four of these damn episodes, and I'm mad that I gotta wait until June to watch only four more. So I'm gonna use that time to now watch season one and two and deep dive everything about it and become obsessive and like everybody else 4 years ago. But it happens to be late every time.
Speaking of tropes in fan fiction, mm-hmm. is there one that you like the most?
I don't know. No. Okay. I like them. Here's what it is. I like them all if they're done well with good characters. You can make me like any trope if I like the characters and they have chemistry, honestly. Whether it be like the friends to lovers, enemies to lovers, long lost sweethearts. Any of those things can work if they have good people in there. That's why I like so many different types of romantic movies. Because, you know, love is beautiful and sad, but some people just know how to do it in a way where it's like, damn, I don't even care.
I think the only trope I kind of really hate is that the miscommunication trope. I can't stand that.
I don't like when it goes on too long. I hate that. Because, especially if it's for a dumb reason. Yeah, you're right. That you heard it this way because you thought it was that way. And she was just talking to each other.
I think I'm a very, direct person when it comes to an uncomfortable thing with personal relationships. So it pissed me off. It's like, just say something. Talk to them.
You're right. That is a dumb one. Now I got to look up all the different types of tropes because I know there's some other ones that I really probably hate.
I love enemies to lovers because I hate everyone at first. So it's like,
I love it when you can call it too. Like, it's like, you can tell off the bat that, they probably really don't like each other, but dang, y'all do look cute. y'all look so cute together.
And I do love, I hate how it's called though. I think it's called forced proximity just because forced with romance sounds like, weird.
We don't like certain words like that.
Yeah, but like, we have to spend the day together and then we fall in love. It's like, mm-hmm. There's only one bed.
Assistant didn't book the room right.
I want to get your opinion on this because I was just reading an article about it. So most, you have your romance and then you have your lesbian romance, or what do they call it? It's like sapphic or whatever.
Sapphic?
Yeah, okay.
Sapphic is crazy.
It's one of those words that every time I see it, I just glance over it.
It's not my business.
And then you have male-male romance, but they say there's a difference between male-male and gay, and it's like, what is the difference? And I guess the difference is male-male, which is what is more predominantly written, mm-hmm. is from when straight women, write about gay romance. And that is like what the majority of what's in, written for male-male. How do you feel about that? Like, wouldn't it be weird if a man was just writing these lesbian romances? Isn't it weird? I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. Do you have any thoughts?
Well, I mean, there's critiques in that because, there have been men who write stories, have written sapphic stories that have gone under fire for maybe not handling the subject matter same. And then maybe that same critique could be made for the women who are writing gay stories who are like, this is something that we're interested in, something that I want to write about, but necessarily I may not be using the right terminology or whatever, because I'm not a part of this world. So I don't know. I think there's space for people to write things that don't mirror their lives, but also they're rightful to get criticism on it. I think as long as nobody's being like literally homophobic in their work, like secretly, not like when it doesn't have anything to do with the plot. Like if it's a part of your plot, then I guess whatever. But like putting in dangerous language or rhetoric and stuff like that secretly in your book or propaganda, I feel like, okay, we're Everybody's just being a writer. Everybody's just doing what they want to do.
I feel like every time I read something, I don't know how I feel about it. I'm like, I wonder what Katrina thinks.
I don't know. Sometimes I have hard opinions and sometimes I don't, because I remember we had this kind of conversation, but it was more focused on race and ethnicity. Uh-huh. Like, how do we feel about white writers writing stories for people of color? And it's like kind of the same way. Like, but I feel like, yeah, I don't know. I don't always think that.
I think maybe it's like a case by case basis.
It is a case by case basis, but I do feel like people that are not a part of the communities that they write about have a really big responsibility to get it right and to do your research and be prepared for people to really come down on you because you're writing something different.
That is true.
And I think some writers take that to the heart where they feel like maybe they shouldn't get critiqued like that. But it's like, no. I feel like people are going to come at you harder, and I feel like you should receive that in a good way, because I don't know. Shit. I don't have fully formed opinions, but I have decent opinions.
Okay. I just want to see how you're vibing with that.
I said decent opinions.
I feel
they're decent.
Would you ever read the Bridgerton series, or that's not something like the books don't interest you since you love the show so much?
I don't know. I would have to really like it. To be fair, I've only like besides the clips of the other season, I've only watched part one of season three. And even though I really liked it, maybe I would read the certain books about the certain couples, but I don't know if I would read the full series. It depends. It just depends. Because I didn't even really know that they, like, I remember when they first came out saying that they were based off books, but because it got so popular, I forgot about that fact.
Yeah.
So, Yeah, I would maybe read my favorite couple's books, but if I end up liking the whole thing, it could be like a wait list thing.
Yeah. Well, now it's my turn, and I still don't have a media.
You had so much time.
I know, but I have to ingest what you're saying. I have to come up with conversation to stall more. And then I don't have time.
I don't know how. I just went on a terrible ramble about fucking books and people writing it from other perspectives. You should have been like, you should have been like, let me think of a media that takes the heat off this bullshit.
I was trying to. I was like, let me divert. All I can think of, which is not even media, is that Bleach Blonde, Butch Built. What is it? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh my God. Yes. What is it? Where's my phone? I don't know where it's at, but it's a Bad Built Beach Bleach. I can't even say
it. Okay, it's Bleach Blonde, Bad Built, Butch Body.
That's what it is. Oh my gosh.
I love that so much.
She killed on that alliteration.
She did. But that is not my media. My media is Misery for the third time.
Oh my gosh, that would be hilarious.
That would be.
Have we talked about that?
Ever on this podcast? Okay. My movie today is, let's just go with the movie because I keep clips of it for some reason. Midsommar. Have you ever seen Midsommar?
Oh my gosh, yes. That's your media? Oof.
Just because, I don't know why, but like a bunch of my TikTok has been clips of that. I think that is one movie. I've only seen it once, and maybe it's because I was one and done. I was like, oh, good movie, but I'm done. But it is such a disturbing movie. And I love movies that can be disturbing without like jump scares or overly grotesque. Like there's a little gory scenes in there.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's overly grotesque. And it I don't know, it kind of sticks with you. You know, just having seen it once, it does stick with you. But there's so many edits on TikTok where it's Florence Pugh's character crying.
And yeah, she's always going through something. Like, until the end, she was just in a constant state of, oh, no, oh, my gosh, stuff's happening.
There's one scene where she's like walking through the field and like crying and sniffling, and like people are editing that, and it's like, you know, when I got fired from my job, or
I know exactly what scene you're talking about.
that just encompasses my mood sometimes. Just like, I just wish when people are like, how are you doing? I just want to like show them that, like right here.
It's like somebody just took my fucking lunch out the refrigerator. That's how I feel right now.
But that movie and Hereditary, people say they like better because that's like from the same director or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I did not vibe with Hereditary, and I do want to watch that again.
You know what it is? They both are scary and messed up. But I would, maybe it's just purely off of me loving Toni Collette, I would pick Hereditary too.
What was that show she was in from that lady from Nurse Jackie? What is it?
Are you talking about when she had the multiple personalities?
No, it was Toni Collette. What is her name? Miriam Weep.
First of all, I love Merritt Weaver. I feel like I've already said that before, so let me stop. But it's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
That was such a great show that I wonder if it's still on Netflix. I want to watch that again because that I love Merritt. I loved her in that HBO show that got canceled. I love her acceptance speech. It's so cringe. Did you watch that?
Yes. I
know your cringe meter is very sensitive.
You know what is? You know how much I love Merritt Weaver? Didn't even register.
No.
I love her speech so much. I thought it was just adorable.
So yeah, I'll just say Merritt Weaver. Let me pivot one more time.
Silly.
She is my media. And now that I'm thinking about it, I need to see that HBO show because I honestly loved it. HBO Merritt Weaver.
Yeah, tell me what show. Because I'm trying to think what else I watched her
Run. In.
Run.
It was called Run. R-U-N.
Was it good?
It was amazing. It only had 7 episodes. And it's about her and like an ex-boyfriend. If they ever text each other, I haven't seen it forever. That if they text each other, like, run, then they go on this train and then they start a new life together.
Oh, shit.
So most of it is them being on a train, trying to figure out, like, what they're going to do with their life. It kind of gets crazy.
40 years ago? Bitch, I'm about to watch this trailer like it just came out.
But it pissed me off that it was canceled because I love her. Anything she's in, I watch.
Me too. And you know what it is? Honestly, I mean, she's a good actress, but I think she's just so funny. And it's so crazy. I watched Unbelievable. If she was not funny at all in that. As well as the subject matter was just so tough. It took me like a year to watch that show.
Really?
It took me so long, but I just loved her since Nurse Jackie. Like, I started watching Nurse Jackie for Edie Falco and then stayed for her.
Yeah, she was great in that show. I found her so annoying at the beginning, but then I loved her.
Man, that's how it happens.
That's how it happens. Just like here on Save Your Sorry. That's how it happens here.
I love it. I love when you bring it together.
But do you have anything else to add about our medias? Mine was just kind of thrown together. Yours was more put together. And Trisha, thank you for writing in.
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, really, Trisha's the one who set us off with me. Uh-huh, it was good. Yeah.
She wins.
She really did, because I'm ashamed of mine. You had a Frankenstein one.
I mean, every new word, I'm like, but this one, and this one, and this one.
We're just out here doing the best we can. Uh-huh. But no, I think this is a great episode. I loved what we brought to the table, and I can't wait to see what we do next week.
Okay, thank you guys so much for listening. It's been wonderful. Bye.
Bye-bye.
And that's a wrap.